Good morning, April 28, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. A major federal shift runs through today's edition, including a warning against using federal dollars for fentanyl test strips and a final rule moving FDA-approved marijuana products to Schedule 3. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with the news, the Sacramento Business Journal reports that Synergy Programs is set to receive a $20 million state grant for expansion of a treatment facility in Sacramento, California. In Minnesota, MinnPost reports that Medicaid cuts are threatening the financial health of treatment providers, although two providers are described as being above the fray. That is one to watch closely, because payment pressure can quickly turn into service pressure. On the cannabis front, the Philadelphia Inquirer reports that the Trump administration is rescheduling marijuana, but says this is not full legalization. A related federal item in the Federal Register makes the scope more specific. The final rule applies to FDA-approved products containing marijuana, moving them from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, along with a corresponding change to permit requirements. Another federal signal comes from Stat News, which reports that the Trump administration is warning against using federal dollars on fentanyl test strips. If your work depends on federal funding, this is the kind of change that may affect purchasing and program design very quickly. And in a separate national report, The Washington Times says President Trump now wants Congress to undo part of the hemp ban he previously signed, while preserving access. Turning to the social pulse, one lived experience post on LinkedIn argues that people in the field need to think carefully about who they collaborate with and who gets access to the communities they come from or serve, especially if those partners are endorsing harmful agendas. In the innovation conversation, a Blue Sky post citing Never Use Alone says the federal government has decided not to allow federal funding for overdose hotlines, including Never Use Alone and SafeSpot, and for testing equipment used in drug checking. Another Blue Sky post raises questions about safe supply pharmacies in London, with a city councilor calling on the province to move away from for-profit pharmacy models, while the post describes safe supply as evidence-based harm reduction. There is also a clear split in public messaging around harm reduction. Lorain County Public Health posted on X that naloxone can reverse an opioid overdose, is safe and easy to use, and is available for free in Lorain County through public Nalox boxes, online ordering with training, and other access points. By contrast, one opposing post on X argues against treating drug policy as a simple economic swap and points to the oxycodone crisis as a warning about regulated and prescribed drugs moving through legitimate systems. That contrast is useful to note, because it shows how overdose response messaging and criticism of supply-side interventions are circulating at the same time. From San Diego, a county update dated April 27th says the County of San Diego will issue payments to several local organizations that were subcontractors for the Harm Reduction Coalition of San Diego after a fraud investigation. The update says the coalition was a former county contractor whose chief operating officer is accused of embezzlement. The county says it is making those payments for work that was not paid by the contractor. In research, one new paper titled Closing the Survival Gap looks at population-level impacts of digitally coordinated naloxone distribution on opioid-involved mortality in the Texas Gulf Coast. Another study in Frontiers in Public Health focuses on structural determinants behind behavioral health treatment disparities among Hispanics in the United States, moving the discussion beyond individual behavior alone. A third paper in JAMA Health Forum examines state telebuprenorphine prescribing policies by medical professional type. That kind of variation can matter in practice when states are deciding who is allowed to deliver remote treatment access. A few funding opportunities are current now. The Bureau of Justice Assistance has its fiscal year 2025 Comprehensive Opioid, Stimulant, and Substance Use Site-Based Program, with a deadline of May 4, 2026. Also due May 4, 2026, the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention has its fiscal year 2025 Opioid Affected Youth Initiative. And the Bureau of Justice Assistance has a fiscal year 2025 COSUP Investigations Training and Technical Assistance Opportunity with a deadline of May 8, 2026. Those first two deadlines are coming up soon. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. One final item. Shatterproof is promoting a donation appeal for alcohol prevention education. If that campaign is relevant to your work, it may be worth a quick look before you log off this morning. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.